Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Welcome back. We shift gears here, so we got Fantasy Sports Today starting off right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. No Blue It today, so you got the spitting statistician there in the big boy chair here, and we got our guy, the King, Scott Engel, joining me, continuing to join me from Roto Experts in the Morning, where we're breaking down all the games that took place yesterday in week two. We've been talking about a lot of games. We're going to keep it rolling here with all the games and kind of our biggest takeaways and what that means moving forward here as we get it going here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks to everybody for joining us here, whether it's on iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Scotty, we continue on from our games, but first I want to reset kind of the headlines. You know, not too many injuries per se. In the last hour, we talked about the Josh Gordon release, how we think he might wind up with a team in the NFC that could be using some running back help. You know, not much injuries. We talked about Larry Fitzgerald. There's a hamstring. Shady McCoy with the hip when that offensive line fell on him. But one thing that we have not talked about that I do think, to be quite honest, is the biggest story of the weekend injury-wise, and it happened as a result of that Thursday night football game. We didn't get a chance to talk about it because news didn't break until after our shows on Friday. But Joe Mixon is having his knee scoped, all right? He tweaked his knee. He went in for surgery. They're saying it's 2 to 4 weeks. Is Giovanni Bernard going to be the number one waiver pickup this week?
I think he's owned in a lot of leagues already. Okay. Like a lot of people drafted him for depth. Right. But, you know, he's certainly going to be a hot pickup. But, you know, Bernard's not a guy cut out for a full workload. I think Mark Walton is going to see some work as well. So he's going to be a hot pickup, too. I think it'll probably be a timeshare between the two of them because when we've seen Bernard, you know, he hasn't been too impressive as a runner this year. And when we've seen him do it in the past, like, people are so hot on Giovanni Bernard early in his career, but he proved that he can't have Andy help handle a heavy workload because he would get hurt so often. So I think it's going to be a combination of him and Walton with him as the lead back. And, you know, maybe somebody you could consider for your flex. But this puts a lot more on the shoulders of Andy Dalton, and this team is going to be throwing a lot.
Yeah, you do got to think that. I agree with you. Bernard, even when he's in there, you know, has always been more of a kind of PPR kind of guy. So we'll see what he can do with that lead opportunity, shall we say. The one pushback I'd have on that, Scotty, is, you know, one of the things you and I have both been saying, part of the reason that these Bengals look a lot better this year is because of their offensive line, Scott. So that being said, if they have something of a improved offensive line, does that give you more encouragement with Giovanni Bernard in this role? You know, when we've seen him in the past, it was with a worse offensive line. Does that give you any more encouragement?
No, because, you know, watching him this year, you know, he hasn't been too impressive as a runner this year, mind, you know, when I've seen him run behind this line. So I'm not highly encouraged, but there's always some upside for him because, you know, they can just throw him passes out of the backfield where I think he's better in space.
Yeah, and listen, there were three running backs yesterday who had 13 or more catches, which is absolutely ridiculous. CMC, Chris Thompson, and we'll talk about Saquon a little bit later on. He also had 14 catches. We'll get into that in a second. I mentioned that LeSean McCoy got a little bit banged up. Tell me a little bit about what you saw there, because our next game is Chargers and Bills. LeSean McCoy, even before the injury, only 39 yards on the ground and another 29 via the air, so not a big game for Shady McCoy, and then he leaves with an injury. What do you think about the Bills' putrid offense, Scotty?
Look, nobody wants to play for them anymore. The people are retiring right at halftime, but I think Josh Allen puts a little bit more spark in the offense. Kelvin Benjamin didn't have anything in terms of yardage, but he did have a late garbage time touchdown, and, you know, Zay Jones had a deep catch. yesterday. So when this team plays catch up, there might be some opportunity for padding the stats. So if somebody cuts Kelvin Benjamin, you know, in your league, and you need something for the upcoming bye weeks at wide receiver, you know, I'd be okay with picking him up.
Okay, fair enough if that's kind of where he is right now. But this Buffalo Bills offense is not going to score much. But then you made the great point, Scotty. Remember, garbage points and kind of backdoor covers, they count just the same if and when they happen. The Chargers did, however, cover that spread. It got up to, I believe it was like 7.5. They were road favorites at about 7.5 points. I told you guys that this game was going to be a little bit closer than people thought. The Chargers did still cover the spread, but they did have the backdoor. Potentially open, only an 11-point victory. So everybody who had the Chargers in survivor pools, you guys are doing just fine. Speaking about survivor pools, I want to let people know, Scotty, that Fantasy Factor is the only place not only for single-entry contests, but they have free survivor promos all the time. It's really a great fun and recreational place to play with smaller leagues and flatter prize pools, okay? So go on over today and check it out. That is fantasyfactor.com. Scotty, as it comes to the Chargers, I asked you a question last week about these guys that I'm going to ask you again this week. Does Austin Ekeler have standalone value regardless of Melvin Gordon? I mean, 77 rushing yards. He also then, you know, 21 receiving yards with three catches. Listen, this is a guy who is like in PPR formats is producing double digits. The game flow, they were up a lot, so maybe they wean off of Melvin Gordon, who on his own had three touchdowns, so rewarding fantasy owners anyway. Is Austin Ekeler now more kind of like a Tevin Coleman of years past, where he's a viable running back regardless?
Yeah, but, you know, with Coleman, like in the past, it's, you know, you never know what you're going to get from week to week. That's the thing, because Melvin Gordon is lead back. You know, this game was a blowout. You know, the final score doesn't reflect it until Buffalo started playing catch-up, and Ekeler was in there, you know, when the game was pretty much salted away. So, you know, look, the guy has some upside, but I think it's going to be very unpredictable from week to week. I would not use him as more than a bench player.
Okay, for now, we shall see. Would he be a bench player that might get a sniff of flex, though, Scotty, during bye weeks and stuff like that? Like,
definitely.
Are you comfortable
That's exactly what I mean. Like, if I have to put Austin Ekeler in there in a bye week, I'm feeling okay.
You're okay with that. Yeah, because, I mean, listen, he has shown up a little bit. And, you know, I expect the Chargers to be kind of in a few games there. Maybe they get out ahead and need to salt away and kind of save Melvin Gordon a little bit. The last early game that we need to talk about, you know, everybody here in New York was wanting to anoint Sam Darnold, wanting to anoint the Jets in their home opener, though. They go down to the now division-leading and only undefeated team in the AFC East. We're talking about the Miami Dolphins. Sam Darnold does have 334 yards, but two interceptions there to go along with the one touchdown. The Jets don't do much in the running game. You got to see that. Isaiah Crowell leads the team in rushing, but Bilal Powell does work in the passing game, 74 yards and a touchdown. But what I really want to talk about here, remember in the preseason, Scott, when we were like, the New York Jets have like 13 wide receivers on their roster. We don't know who's going to take a step forward from these wide receivers. Well, I do now. And it's clear to me that the number one target in New York for Sam Darnold, you've heard the quotes, and in the box score, it's obvious as well. I think it's Quincy Enunwa, and I think Quincy Enunwa is startable now week in and week out, Scotty. 7 catches, 92 yards, and if you watch the games, it's just clear that he is a part of these offense in the run-pass options, things of that nature. Enunwa is the number one receiver for the Jets moving forward, right, Scott?
Oh, yeah, it looks that way, and you know, Darnold was commenting up until the game about how he loves to throw to him. You know, he's healthy. You know, we saw him as a possession receiver for Ryan Fitzpatrick in the past. He does have some end zone potential. But outside of that, you know, Robbie Anderson, a big disappointment yesterday. And I don't know if Sam Darnold's going to throw him deep enough to make Robbie Anderson, you know, as viable as we were hoping to be. I had him coming into the year as a fantasy wide receiver, too. And right now I'm very concerned about Robbie Anderson. And as far as the running game goes, you know, Isaiah Crowell has a revenge game next week against the Cleveland Browns. So get him back in your lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you got to think about game flow as well. But, yeah, I think that's a good point there. Isaiah Crowell on Thursday Night Football. They kick off week three, and we'll get it started at Cleveland. Maybe the Browns look to get their first win in, you know, over a year. On the Dolphins side, you know, Scotty, I got to tell you something. They get the win, but there's not much fantasy goodness to go around. You know, Kenyon Drake gets in the end zone, 53 yards rushing. But when I look at this passing game, you know, nobody had over 40 yards receiving. Albert Wilson gets the touchdown. Amendola kind of as this two-way go out of the slot. Kenny Stills disappointed people who wanted to have him in lineups. You know, Ryan Tannehill ran for 44 yards. That's more than any wide receiver had or anybody had in the pass game. Help me make sense of this Dolphins offense, Scott.
Yeah, the big disappointing thing to me is Kenny Stills still hasn't improved, you know, in terms of consistency. You know, big game week one, very quiet game in week two. Danny Amendola got hurt, came back. You know, that's Danny Amendola. And it was also concerning that Kenyon Drake, you can't say the touchdown saved his day because he earned that. But, you know, it's very concerning that he only has 25 carries so far in two games, and we're not seeing enough out of him in the passing game. So Miami got the win, and, you know, they're very, very unlikely 2-0. But, you know, at the same time, you know, this Dolphins offense has been a little bit up, a little bit down, but it's only 2 weeks here. But I don't know how much you're going to be able to trust Kenny Stills as a regular starter. And so far, Kenyon Drake's been a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. 70 scrimmage yards combined. He does have the four catches and the touchdown, which make him look completely viable in PPR formats. He got you 17 points in most PPR formats. So you'll take that at the end of the day. But it looks like this is shaping up to be a low-end fantasy herd, if you ask me. A high-end fantasy herd, Scotty, are the Los Angeles Rams. They, in their home opener, put it on the Arizona Cardinals, 34-0. I got to ask you, quite frankly, Scotty, which is more impressive, the Rams' offense or the Rams' defense? I mean, you know, Jared Goff, 354 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. You know, Todd Gurley, similar to Melvin Gordon, didn't have a ton of yards, but fantasy owners will be happy with the three touchdowns he produces. But we talked about these wide receivers as a fantasy herd, right? Last week, you know, other guys scored touchdowns. No touchdowns this week, but Cook, 7 for 159. Woods, 6 for 81 after being the lowest guy last week. And Cooper Kupp, 6 for 63. This offense looks good, but then the defense may look even better, holding Sam Bradford to only 90 yards in the air. This entire team got only about 150 yards total. Scotty, what's more impressive, this Rams offense or this Rams defense?
I got to say the defense, although, you know, we expected that for sure. You know, Sam Bradford's looked horrible. I guess we'll get to more of that in a minute. But as far as the offense goes, you know, Todd Gurley had to leave the game with what they described as a cramp. But he came back you know, late in the game on the sidelines, you know, was laughing and joking around. So looks like he's going to be okay. Brandon Cooks is off to a much better start than we saw with Sammy Watkins in Los Angeles last year. Cooper Kupp, you know, 10 PPR points, but that's pretty much his floor every week. I think Robert Woods is probably going to fluctuate the most out of these pass catchers. You would have liked to see more touchdown passes for Jared Goff, but you can't complain about the yardage. You know, this team is right now is looking like the most complete in all of the NFC. You know, they face two weak opponents, but look, right, you know, when you're supposed to be a good team, you beat who you're supposed to beat the way they've beat them.
Exactly. You can only beat who is in front of you, and you're right. They didn't face the best opponents, but listen, the Cardinals were 1-0 coming into this game, and, you know, a division opponent, Scotty, we always say this about division opponents. You never know, right? So the fact that they were able to handle a team that is familiar with them, I think is very, very impressive. I will say this as we look on the Arizona side. If you remember, Scotty, going into this season, I was saying that David Johnson, of the top four guys, was the guy that I had the least faith in. He's obviously outperformed Le'Veon Bell so far this season. But we get a question from Rich on Twitter. He says, I realize it's only two games, but it appears that the new regime in Arizona
Arizona has zero clue how to use David Johnson? Are we looking at a lost season like 2016 Todd Gurley? I don't know if I'm going that far just yet, but David Johnson, 13 carries for 48 yards and only one catch in the passing game. Chase Edmonds had five grabs, you know, his kind of handcuff, that rookie out of Fordham. But talk to me about your level of concern with David Johnson 2 weeks in.
It's a big concern. You know, that's why people are reacting. It is just two games. But you know what, though? Even though it's been a bad two games, this doesn't mean it's going to be the way the whole season. You can't look at 2 weeks and say, okay, it's going to be the like this the entire season. You know, they're going to have to make some adjustments. You know, maybe a quarterback change would help things. You know, if they go to the rookie, he's probably going to throw to the running back a lot. So if I, look, I'll take an opportunity to buy low on David Johnson. I'll go ahead and do it because, you know, we can remember this as a slow start, but then he starts turning out to be who he is.
Yep, just like former Cardinals head coach says, they are who we thought they were. Remember, Scotty, I also said this, going into games, remember how Jared Cook blew up against the Rams in week one? And I was saying, I think, I don't know if it was here or on Fantasy Freestyle, I said, listen, non-wide receivers may have the best games against the Rams moving forward because of the quick pressure that they're getting with, you know, Sue and Donald, because of their opportunistic corners on the outsides, teams may be forced to go more towards the middle of the field. Now, it was no great shakes. Remember, Sam Bradford only completed 17 balls and had less than 100 yards passing, but you know, it was non-wide receivers that led these teams in catches, right? Chase Edmonds with five catches, Ricky Seals-Jones with four catches, surpassing Larry Fitzgerald with three, and the rookie Christian Kirk, who did have four. Is that a trend we can continue seeing? Look at backs out of the backfield and tight ends up against the Rams, because quite frankly, the guys on the outside are going to be covered very well by Tlaib and Peters.
Yeah, that's a good analysis, although Ricky Seals-Jones didn't do anything yesterday, neither did David Johnson. But, you know, the linebacking crew is the weakest part of that team. So I think depending on who they're playing, but obviously the Cardinals couldn't exploit it yesterday. So yeah, you really have to be careful about who they're playing. And, you know, the Rams, you know, after getting burned by Jared Cook, you know, they realize that as well, and they want to tighten that up.
Sure. You know, but if you do think about it, the backs and tight ends combined for 10 of the 17 completions there. The two wide receivers, Fitzgerald and Kirk, get seven. Nobody else among the wide receiving core gets anything. We only got about a minute left before we got to go to break, Scotty. You talked about the idea of who is playing quarterback for this team. The Cardinals are now 0-2. You and I both said, or actually I said, I don't want to put words in your mouth, I was on the under for Arizona. I thought the Cardinals actually were going to be one of the worst teams in the NFC. I think you believe them to be a little bit better than that. They now stand at 0-2. You mentioned the quarterback situation. Time is ticking on Sam Bradford, no?
Yeah, it certainly is. I would not be surprised. You know, the broadcast was saying we're going to see Josh Rosen today. So, you know, that I think the hook's coming for Sam Bradford. You know, maybe just the injuries have taken toll on him during the year, over the years, because, you know, he just doesn't look like a good quarterback anymore.
He does not look like the greatest quarterback, but then again, going up against that Rams defense may make you look
90 yards,
like
though,
a not on. Good quarterback, but someone should be able to do more than 90 yards and an interception. When we come back, we got a couple more games to talk through. Another running back that had more than a dozen catches. We'll tell you about that when we come back. Fantasy Sports Today, Dana Scott.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today. Sing it, Scotty.
Running with the devil. A little bit of Haley for you.
Nice that a little Van Halen as we wake up on a Monday with most of week two in the books. We'll talk a little bit about Monday Night Football in our next segment, but we're still looking back on what happened in week two. We talked about how the Los Angeles Rams look like one of the most complete teams in the National Football League. They're definitely in my top five so far. If we did our power rankings, you know, kind of off the cuff, Scotty, I believe my power rankings would include three teams from the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and maybe, quite honestly, the Cincinnati Bengals, and then would include two teams from the NFC that I think have been very impressive, that being the Rams and the Minnesota Vikings. I know Tampa Bay is also 2-0, but I still need to see it a little bit more before I kind of anoint them in my power five. But I talk about the Rams, Scotty, because there's one more point that I want to mention before we move on to the last two games that we have yet to talk about this morning. The Rams put it on the Cardinals yesterday, 34-0. And that looks like a normal score, you know, 34. But they got to it in a different way. Scotty, they had to go two-point conversions and things like that nature because their quarterback, their kicker, Greg Zuerlein, had a groin injury and missed this game. Now, I know, Scotty, we don't talk about kickers and, you know, I don't have much of a kicking point here. I will say this, though. In our hashtag game of inches, when people have really bad beats, there may be some people that lost really close games and had Greg Zuerlein in as their kicker. And the other thing, though, is I want to ask you, Scott, when you hear news like this, does that matter to you at all? Not from the kicker standpoint, but maybe from the side, like the Rams are going to have to go with the two-point conversion a little bit more. Is there any impact? Like, how could people adjust when they heard that news? I know a lot of people were taking zeros in their kicking spot yesterday.
Yeah, you know, Zuerlein's a top kicker, so right. You know that certainly hurts. And sometimes when I say you can't totally forget the kicker if it's part of your league. Of course, you know, there are designs now like Scott's Fishbowl and everything else that eliminate the kicker. But if it's part of your league, you got to pay attention. You can't just draft one and not pay attention to it. You have to pay attention to the trends and, you know, who's scoring the most points week to week because, you know, you could pick up a guy who could really, really help you. You know, I've done a lot off the free agent list that could boost you, and nobody's realizing because he's just not a named guy and they're not picking him up. And, you know, when you have Zuerlein, he's a top kicker. And if the rest of your team, you know, like, you know, somebody scores 0 or 2 points for you, a kicker scores 12, he can pick up the slack for you. So, you know, this was a big loss, I think, you know, that may go overlooked in a lot of fantasy circles.
Absolutely. So we'll see if that comes back to bite anybody as we play hashtag game of inches. Remember, send us at Spit and Speeds, at Scotty RotoX, screenshots maybe of your worst possible beat. And we'll talk about, you know, we'll see on a week-to-week basis if anybody moves the needle for the king, Scott Engel. And Scotty, you know, the Rams are a high-powered offense. A lot of people probably had Zuerlein. And honestly, the fact that they were a 4 o'clock start, I think, hurts it too. Because let's say you start your lineup, right, and then you hear that this happens in warm-ups. You might be at the bar consumed with the 1 o'clock games and not having an opportunity to kind of adjust for this, but keep your eye out on that as it moves forward, because having the Rams kicker with this offense is definitely, you know, one of the kickers that you want to consider. Only a couple games left for us to move on, Scotty, but first I want to let people know that they got to go on over to dailyroto.com. This site has produced $7 million winners, including one in week one of this season. You will gain access to a line optimizer that will compose your daily fantasy rosters for both FanDuel and DraftKings. But not only that, DailyRoto.com now has a, you know, if sports wagering is what you're into, check on the sports betting tab and you'll be able to use the same tools and algorithms that have produced all those winnings, capitalize on player performances without having to worry about salary caps, okay? Go to DailyRoto.com and click on Go Premium. It is the industry's website where millionaires are made, literally, at least seven, and our CEO, Jeremy Stein's one of the only men who have won $2 million tournaments. All right, Scotty, two more games to talk about. We had an AFC West battle in Denver where the Denver Broncos get a late second field goal out of McManus to beat Gruden and the Raiders 20-19. Scotty, the one thing I got to ask you about in this game, last week, one of the biggest waiver ads all across the league was Philip Lindsay. I was kind of on the side of Philip Lindsay. is not really a full-on thing. I thought he might have been a PPR thing. I thought if you were a Devontae Booker owner, you should be worried. But I thought this was going to be Royce Freeman in early down work and then Phillip Lindsay. That is not the case. Phillip Lindsay led this team in carries, 14 carries for 107 yards and only one catch out of the backfield. You know, Royce Freeman, only 28 yards on 8 carries, does get the touchdown. Is Phillip Lindsay like a week-to-week RB2? Is he the starting running back of the Denver Broncos now? A lot of people was all high on Royce Freeman coming into this league, thought he was going to be sharing with Devontae Booker, and then out of nowhere, it's this rookie out of Colorado State, Phillip Lindsay.
Starting is a dangerous word. Starting could mean you're on the field for the first play of the game.
Like we saw with LeGarrette Blount and stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that you're going to get the most reps. This is a complete timeshare right now. Royce Freeman's going to be, he's going to get his inside carries. He's going to get his goal line carries. But they're going to give some to Lindsay, too. I think they're going to ride the hot hand right here. And right now it's Lindsay. I don't think either is an RB2, but I'm comfortable with Phillip Lindsay right now as my flex.
Are you comfortable cutting Devontae Booker?
I already did.
Okay, so I guess that means too. I guess that means you are in fact comfortable with him. On the wide outside, listen, Manny Sanders continues, it looks like, to be Case Keenum's preferred option, him over DT. Yeah, DT had the 5 for 18, but he's not, 7 yards was his longest catch of the day. It looks like Emmanuel Sanders is the breakout. I'm comfortable with Manny Sanders as a wide receiver too. I think a back end wide receiver too. It looks like the way this offense is going, Manny Sanders 4 for 96 after his big game in week 1. Do you agree with me? Manny Sanders greater than signed Demaryius Thomas moving forward, Scotty?
Yeah, Demaryius Thomas still got 11 targets yesterday, but dropped some passes. But I think there's a real connection between Keenum and Emmanuel Sanders. But I told you, that I was worried about Keenum, that he was going to turn into a pumpkin, and he looked more, even more of it like it yesterday. Look, divisional games, I liked Keenum yesterday, but I should have known better to bench him for to start him and bench Stafford, because divisional games especially can always be lowest scoring, and Keenum was very, very unimpressive yesterday.
Yeah, Scott, I buy that narrative, but it's tough, right? Because we just got finished talking about a division matchup where the Los Angeles Rams, boat raced the Cardinals 34-0, and that's also a divisional matchup, you know what I mean? I remember going into when we were talking about the lines, the betting lines going into this week, we were like, with the Broncos and the Raiders, it was a divisional matchup, so I don't know if I wanted to lay the 6 points. And in that case, it turned out to not be, to not be a smart decision. Whereas Atlanta, Carolina was the same exact spread, the same exact kind of situation, and Atlanta covers that spread. The Rams had 13.5 points, all division matchup. They cover that spread. Whereas the Broncos and the Raiders, that kind of division matchup turns out to be a bond burner. So, it's tough to consider these division matchups. Sometimes you quote unquote throw the numbers out the window, and sometimes they play to form.
Well, look, nothing's absolute, whether it's in fantasy or real sports. Yep. You talk about that boat race there. It's the difference between the Rams and the Cardinals is so much greater than the difference between Denver and the Raiders. You're not surprised that Denver and the Raiders is a competitive game, whereas the other is the blowout. So I just don't throw it out there with a label and apply it to everything. I was not completely shocked that that this was a close game here, because I've seen these two teams play it tight before, but the Rams are just so much better than the Cardinals that you throw the divisional thing out the window.
All right, fair enough. And a lot of people last week, Scotty, were going a little bit too far, overreacting after week 1, being like, should I drop Amari Cooper? Should I trade Amari Cooper for 50 cents on the dollar? And we were like, no, hold on a second. Let's just wait. He bounces back 10 catches for 116 yards. Seemed to be the prime option for Derek Carr in the passing game. Jordy Nelson, though, continues to frustrate. It looks like he's washed to me. Who can you trust in this passing game for Oakland, Scotty?
It was a really nice bounce back game for Amari Cooper against a really good secondary. It's very encouraging. I think they're worried about Jared Cook, but they also gave Amari Cooper a lot of cushion, and he ate it up. And Amari Cooper, though, that's the danger, though. One catch for 9 yards last week, and then 109. Until further notice, the guy is very, very volatile and unpredictable.
Yeah, absolutely. But I do think, Scotty, you may have to ride that wave because, quite honestly, if you drafted Amari Cooper high and, like, I wonder who are your other options that on a week-to-week basis you're considering starting over Amari Cooper, even when you consider the flex. I got to believe, Scotty, do you agree with me that, like, even though he had that bad week one, I mean, you kind of have to fit Amari Cooper in your lineup moving forward. I don't know what your options are, and it's a case-by-case basis, but yeah. I struggle to think that you're going to have three or potentially four wide receivers that you like ahead of Amari Cooper.
Yeah, you might have two, but I think right now you have to treat him with as a wide receiver three with some upside.
Yeah, or even as a flex play, you know. I think he's going to be in starting lineups on most teams moving forward. Scotty, the last game that I have, at least, the Dallas Cowboys Sunday Night Football, they take out the New York Giants 20-13. Scott, note how I did not say the New York Football Giants because I know you don't like that. Here's where I want to go on this one. Honestly, Scott, I think they were trying to force-feed Saquon Barkley in this game. Okay, he had the 11 carries for only 28 yards, but he had 14 catches for 80 yards. It seemed like a lot in the screen game, a lot of Saquon in the flat, almost to the detriment of all the other guys. I mean, Odell Beckham couldn't really get going. Sterling Shepard only 3 catches, you know. Great for Barkley owners for and PPR especially with 14 catches for 80 yards. But to me, it seemed like they were focusing on him almost a little bit too much at the expense of everybody else. We talk about how the Giants have all these weapons, Odell, Evan Ingram, stuff like that. It just seemed like all the other guys couldn't get going and they were sacrificed for Saquon. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, he was one of three running backs with at least a dozen catches yesterday.
Right.
But, you know, they drafted this guy to be the crux of the offense, and they wanted to take pressure off of Eli Manning, who didn't play well at all. So it kind of didn't shock me. You know, they couldn't get him unleashed as a runner. And but, you know, Eli, you know, had his opportunities to get Odell, and, you know, he just didn't see him open at all. So I think they needed to rely on Barkley because the quarterback play just wasn't that good.
Okay, let me ask you this, though. I mean, if you're an Odell Beckham owner here, right? I mean, Odell Beckham was that dude, you know, for this offense last year or in years when he was there and healthy. And part of the reason Odell Beckham is a first-round wide receiver is because of the targets that he's getting, right? Similar to like a Julio Jones or a DeAndre Hopkins. If Saquon Barkley is going to get a dozen targets every game, that compromises Odell a little bit as this like target monster. I know Odell is amazing, but are you worried at all about kind of the targets even Odell might get if everyone wants to focus on Saquon so much?
No, it's okay. You know, it's one game to me. It's, you know, last week 11 catches for 111 yards against Jacksonville. Not everybody's going to blow up every week.
All right, fair enough. As we look to the Dallas Cowboys side of things, Zeke Elliott gets his 78 yards on the ground. He gets the touchdown. He also gets 5 catches, so really helping out PPR owners. We have a Tavon Austin sighting, Scotty. 2 catches, 79 yards, and a touchdown. I told you one of these weeks it was going to happen. Now, I don't know that this is a thing, but Collinsworth made the point that because the Cowboys don't really have other speed and other game breakers, that they may need Tavon Austin. Could this be a case of maybe him being something better for the Dallas Cowboys, Scotty, as in like providing that potential playmaking ability or that deep speed to stretch the field a little bit? What do you think about what you saw out of these pass catchers for Dallas? I mean, they win the game, they put up 20 points, and then but outside of Tavon Austin, nobody has 35 yards receiving.
Yeah, I'm not going to do this with Tavon Austin. You know, we've done this in the past. It was one big play, and we didn't see much of him for the rest of the night. You know, none of these Dallas pass catchers are dependable, not even Cole Beasley. It looks like the game script with them, and we've seen it for 2 weeks now, is to keep low scoring because their defense is playing very solid football. You know, it's Dak Prescott on the read option, etc. He's making good decisions when he has to throw the football, but there's no volume here to be had at all.
Okay, might that change if Josh Gordon joins the fray. Like, well, a lot of people have talked about how Dallas could be a spot here. And when I look, you know, when I look at this box score, Scotty, I mean, if Tavon Austin, you know, at least in 1 week is the guy, you're mentioning kind of Cole Beasley, Deontay Thompson with 4 for 33, no Terrence Williams, really only one for Allen Hurns. This could be a team in need of a dynamic guy like a Josh Gordon, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know, we've already heard the rumor, you know, Josh Gordon has said he wants to go there. So, yeah, and I think Cowboys are an organization that would probably tolerate that. You know, they've put up with some questionable characters in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, some defensive guys as well. My mind immediately thinks to Greg Hardy and also Randy Gregory, who's on this roster, which brings me to my next point real quick, Scotty, before we go to our last break here of the morning. This Cowboy, listen, I was a little bit worried about the Cowboys' offensive line being less good than we had thought. But on the flip side, Scotty, I think this Dallas Cowboys defense is a little bit better than we thought. They were getting pressure on Eli Manning, 6 sacks, and they made the point on the telecast, these cornerbacks really only have to guard the deep routes, the fade routes, because of the way they're scheming. Are these Dallas Cowboys a viable, you know, fantasy defense?
Yeah, I think, you know, 2 weeks of, you know, holding teams to what was it, 16
one
last week
and 13,
13 last night. You know, they're keeping the score down. But let's remember, you know, this is what Dallas did in the past when Ezekiel Elliott was healthy. They control the clock so much and slow the game down. It's almost like basketball, like where they're playing half court, that, you know, just because of the pace of the game is going to, you know, make everything lower scoring. You know, they don't have that talented of a secondary. Their front seven's probably underrated. But you know, the way they play football slows everything down. And, you know, if your fantasy defenses, you know, lose points for points allowed, you know, you want them. But they also pulled off 6 sacks last night. So, you know, they are a viable fantasy defense.
Yep, you definitely want to consider that. Remember, maybe this is the way, like you said, with Ezekiel Elliott there in tow, this is kind of the way the Cowboys may want to play, right? On some level, not as an extreme of an example, but similar to what I always say about the Jacksonville Jaguars. They want to run the ball and play defense, shorten the game, and maybe Dallas doing a little bit of that as well. Don't forget, guys, go on over to Fantasy Factor, single entry contest, smaller leagues, flatter prize pools. They have great free promotions. Promotions, Survivor, Super Bowl squares. Even when we get to March, they got March Madness brackets as well. Go check them out. That is fantasyfactor.com. All right, Scotty, we have finished looking back on week two. When we come back, our final segment, we will look forward to the end of week two and beyond. And if people want to join the show, they can. 844-843-6879. Dane and Scott, come on back. It's Fantasy Sports Today.
Marcus Cato is a baseball-loving 20-year-old Californian. In May, he was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia. Marcus now needs a bone marrow transplant from an unrelated donor to survive. The National Bone Marrow Registry is made up of only 7% African Americans, which means Marcus, who is biracial, faces a unique challenge to find a match. Text INVOLVE to 50555 to join DKMS in the fight to help Marcus and others get a second chance at life.
Start me up. Week two is almost finished. It has been started up, and Scotty and I just took the last, better part of 2 hours to break down every game that happened yesterday, kind of our main takeaways, what we believe in is sustainable, what we believe in is just one-week wonders, so hopefully you keep it locked and heard everything there. Tomorrow, Scotty, we'll start to turn our attentions to waivers and kind of who we like on your waiver runs, and we'll start to look ahead to week three. We got two more things to talk about in this segment, and we're going to get into Monday Night Football as week two closes tonight with your Seattle Seahawks, Scotty, on the road in Chicago to take on the Bears. But first, I wanted to ask you this. I mean, one of the hot topics going into the start of this season, and it still does not have a resolution, is this concept with the Pittsburgh Steelers and Le'Veon Bell. And Scotty, you know, I mean, they put up 37 points yesterday against that Kansas City Chiefs defense. So on the one side, you'd be like, maybe they're fine offensively. But on the other side, James Conner, 8 carries for only 17 yards. He does get the touchdown. He does get 5 catches as well. He also got a 2-point conversion. So if you had him in PPR formats, I believe he had something like 16, 17 points. So you're kind of okay there from a fantasy perspective. But Scotty, the Steelers now are 2 weeks in, haven't won a game yet. Most people, including both of us, picked the Pittsburgh Steelers to win the AFC North and to make something of a run in the playoffs. I mean, does what we see yesterday impact Le'Veon Bell kind of at all, I guess, is kind of my questions. We're also like, could the Pittsburgh Steelers maybe turn around and maybe want to trade him or something if they can get anything back? I know it's kind of like, it's not like Major League Baseball or the NBA with the kind of trade deadline, but they're holding a guy almost like on an expiring contract, it looks like. And in the NBA and Major League Baseball, that is a commodity to be traded. I don't know if that's the same thing, but the Steelers don't look right. Do they have increased urgency to get Le'Veon Bell back in? They're Monday Night Football next week, so maybe even an extra day. What do you think about this situation, Scotty? Let's update the feedback.
Last week we were saying Le'Veon who, and right. You know, this week they're saying he has leverage. You know, game flow dictated yesterday they couldn't run the ball because they were behind 21-0 at the end of the first quarter. So, you know, how much can you really blame that on not having a running game? Would Le'Veon Bell improved anything yesterday? He can't play defensive back. So I don't know that much has changed. And I said it last week and I'll say it again. We don't know what's going to happen. It's all speculation. It's fun, but I don't think anyone's going to be anywhere on point. You don't know what's happening with Le'Veon Bell. During the summer, we all thought, you know, it was going to be the flip. Like Earl Thomas was holding out, we thought Earl Thomas would not be in by now and Le'Veon Bell would, and it's been actually the reverse. So I don't think we know anything what's anywhere going to happen. You know, the only thing I could say right now is it looks like Le'Veon Bell's prepared to probably sit out a bunch of games here.
Yeah, remember, he will have to play, I believe it is 6 this year, in order to even get the service credit, so he gets the free agency, which is his ultimate goal. So it's kind of like the inverse of a Zeke Elliott last year. You know, like last year, the cloud hung over all season, and then he got banged and was gone for your fantasy playoffs. One thing I am still certain of is that by the time the fantasy playoffs come around, Le'Veon Bell needs to be playing games if he wants to hit free agency. The other thing I will say, and I know that this is like kind of maybe a layman's kind of narrative, Scott, but the next 2 weeks in a row, Scotty, the Pittsburgh Steelers are on national television. Okay, and so maybe that's the stage that Le'Veon Bell wants to kind of re-announce himself. Remember, the next couple of weeks, they are at Tampa Bay for Monday Night Football, and then they host the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday Night Football in what is shaping up to be a big matchup in the AFC North. But we talk about, you know, you said you thought it was going to be flipped. You talk about Earl Thomas and Le'Veon Bell. I thought you were going to say something differently, Scott. You know, next week, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Tampa Bay Bucks on Monday Night Football. And for going into the season, I told you one of those teams was undefeated and one of those teams has yet to win a game. You certainly would have thought it would have been flip-flopped in that vein with Tampa Bay being the undefeated team and the Steelers are the ones that are still winless, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, for the Dolphins being 2-0, you know, you don't expect that either. You know, football is like all of a sudden revival in the state of Florida with guys named Ryan.
Yeah, the entire state of Florida is undefeated. The Dolphins, the Bucks, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are 2-0. The state of Florida is still undefeated. But, Scotty, we move on now. We got a couple minutes left. We're talking here about Monday Night Football, which will put a bow on week 2 of the NFL. I want to follow up on something we talked about here going into last week, Scotty. I know we have Russell Wilson, you had as the top play in all of fantasy for week 2. I don't know. We had some big time performances at the quarterback position, you know, Patty Mahomes, Ben Roethlisberger, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and others. Are you still confident Russell Wilson will break into the top 5 with his performance tonight?
Look, I rank him number 1 because I feel he's matchup proof. He's a must-play. He's the safest play at a high level. The top-scoring quarterback in fantasy football last year dropped 3 touchdown passes and nearly 300 yards on Denver's defense, which is better than Chicago's. Always plays well, you know, under the Monday the Monday, Sunday national TV spotlight. And, you know, this is a defense that allowed three touchdown passes in week one. So I was very, very confident in the Russell Wilson pick. And, you know, I remain confident. You know, you can't predict somebody's going to pick, throw six touchdown passes, you know, something like that. But I expect a strong performance from Wilson tonight.
All right, so you expect still something very strong from Dangerous. It is true, though, the bar got set very high with some other performances yesterday. We do have a caller real quick I want to take before we pass it on to Carton and friends. Dale in Queens, you're on Fantasy Sports Today. What's going on, brother man?
Oh, what's up, man?
How you doing? How can we help?
I'm good. So I had a question about Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
So yesterday with the 14 catches, do you consider giving up wide receiver one? Let's say Keenan Allen, if you have a great wide receiving core, you know. I got Brown, Thielen, and Hogan. It's a 10-player. It's PPR. And McKinnon
interesting. So it's PPR formats. Scotty, what about that in PPR formats? It sounds like Dale has some other wide receiver depth that he could rely on. But, you know, Chris, going out and getting Christian McCaffrey in PPR formats to be a running back one, Scotty.
I think Allen for McCaffrey is very fair. But I think when you might have to be ready for when somebody, when you make that offer, they might come back, you know, and ask for somebody a little bit higher than that, you know, maybe Antonio Brown or somebody else. Who are your running backs now? Okay, I guess we don't have. If you have to fill a hole, I think that's a very fair offer. But I just get concerned a little bit that, you know, when you look at the other two receivers that he has above him on his roster, and he has Thielen and Brown, they might come back asking for Adam Thielen or Antonio Brown. Right. But I think Adam Thielen from anything outside of Antonio Brown, I'd be comfortable doing.
I gotta tell you something. I'd actually much at this point, I'd rather trade away Thielen than Keenan Allen, to be quite honest. Okay, I would have Allen ahead of Adam Thielen, especially with the way it looks like Cousins is locked in on Diggs. I would do that trade. And the reason is because it sounds like his wide receiver position is strong enough to handle the blow. It sounds like, Dale, you could still go with Antonio Brown, Adam Thielen, and I believe it was Chris Hogan who you said, and that's fine to me in order to get a true running back one, which in PPR formats, I do believe Christian McCaffrey will be. Scotty, Monday Night Football. The
now,
Chicago
one thing,
Bears.
Real quick, you said though that you know that he, you know that he has this radar for Stephon Diggs, and I'm not saying that he hasn't, but you know McCaffrey caught 12 passes yesterday, and he's had two 100 yard games, so yeah. He's heavily involved too. So
it's a different team,
look,
Scotty.
Obviously,
you're talking about.
But
you're
saying you'd rather have Allen than Thielen because Diggs is clearly the number one. I think that team has two number ones. You know, it's to me, Thielen and Allen is almost even right now.
Yeah, that's fine. I think we're splitting hairs there. That's absolutely okay. What I was saying is, when you originally mentioned that if you offered the Keenan Allen for CMC, that the other guy in this league may come back and want Thielen instead. I'm saying I'm okay with that too. If you're okay with Keenan Allen, then you're okay with Adam Thielen in this trade. That's kind of the point that I'm making. And I do think I would do that because he has, whether it's Thielen or Allen, this guy has three other legitimate week-to-week starting wide receivers. I still consider Chris Hogan in that category as a week-to-week start. I know he had a bad week one, but against Jacksonville, he had a good week two with two touchdowns, and I think they'll, you know, continue to use Chris Hogan. I think you could be fine with him as your wide receiver three, and especially in PPR formats, go out and get Christian McCaffrey if you can. Scotty, the line has moved here to be more in Chicago's favor, okay? When we made our picks on Friday, the Bears were 3.5-point favorites in this game. They are now 4.5-point favorites in this game, which means more people believe that the Chicago Bears are going to get that victory in their home opener on Monday Night Football. Scotty, I know you believe in Danger Russell Wilson, and I know that you believe in the Seattle Seahawks. Scotty, you picked Seattle in this game +3.5, so I gotta imagine at +4.5, you like them even better.
Yeah, I think you have to, because I think this will be a close game, and, you know, Seattle, they have a shot of winning it because, You know, they're going to come in there and, you know, play some offense. You know, Russell Wilson's going to be able to throw the ball, I think. On the other side of the ball, no Bobby Wagner, no K.J. Wright, no Trey Flowers, you know, his rookie cornerback, you know, and they're very – and Shaq Griffin's hurt. But the problem is, can the Bears take advantage of the injuries on the Seattle defense in the passing game? I don't know if they can. But I do like the running backs a lot. I like both Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen. You know, I think this could be a very close game with like a 24-21 final. And, you know, it might come down to what quarterback makes the play. And you have a lot more confidence in Wilson than you would Trubisky.
Absolutely. You do on that. As you know, if you listen to Friday's show, Scott and I are on the other side of this game. Scotty has the Seattle Seahawks, and he made that pick. I am on the Chicago Bears at home, so we will see. We'll obviously break it all down on tomorrow's episode. Blewett is back for Fantasy Sports Today tomorrow. Scotty, you just called a 24-21 final. The over-under on this game, Scotty, is 43 points. It sounds like you think the Bears may be able to do a little bit of work because of the missing pieces in Seattle, and that you like the Seattle offense as well. Are you taking the over in this game, Scotty? 43 is the total. You think it goes over that tonight, Monday night?
I think it goes slightly over.
All right, so Scott is on the over and the Seattle Seahawks. I'm on the other side. I think the Chicago Bears get their first win at home. We will update that and everything else tomorrow morning, okay, when we put week two in the books and we start to look ahead to week three. The Le'Veon Bell situation, waiver wires, any injury developments, we'll be all over it. It is the King, Scott Engel, and the Spittin' Statistician, Dane Martinez. Carton and Friends is up next right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Have a great day. Monday Night Football ends week two. We'll see you back here tomorrow.